As I travel from homestead to homestead, the plains window becomes a wide lens into the past, focusing on the vast North American landscape below. And at 35,000 feet, I watch a historical documentary unfold in geographic increments. Cities surrounded by suburbs, suburbs blended away to occasional rural villages, and then there they are. The indelible survey section grid lines, now visible as roads or fence lines, carving out the homesteads and farmlands that can be traced to the Civil War era Homestead Act of 1862, an act that allowed any American, whether rich or poor, to receive a 160-acre plot of land for a filing fee of $18. Abraham Lincoln believed that the role of government should be to elevate the condition of men, to lift artificial burdens from all shoulders, and to give everyone an unfettered start and a fair chance in the race of life. And for a period of time lasting well over a century, Americans were able to claim their lot in life. It wasn't a perfect system, and looking back, we have to acknowledge the bad as well as the good. Although newly freed Black Americans were technically able to claim land this way, few successfully did. Indigenous tribes were forcibly removed from their homelands, causing generational despair and great loss of life. People abused the system too, with wealthy homesteaders figuring out ways to claim multiple homesteads in good locations. Lincoln's actions reshaped this country, and by the close of the act, over 4 million homestead claims were filed in more than 30 states, with the last being claimed by a man named Ken Deardorff along the Stony River in Alaska in 1976. Those dreamers carved a legacy of self-sufficient homesteads, farms, ranches, and orchards, all the way to the Pacific Ocean and then north to Alaska. From my window seat, I can easily see the fenced, bordered sections of land, each section representing 640 acres, or 1 square mile. The patchwork of squared farmland is a timeless reminder of where we came from and where our food still comes from. 200 years later, however, the migration has reversed, with young people going from the farm to the factory to the office. Many of the original square mile farms have been broken down to smaller tracts of 320, 160, 80, or 40 acres, and so on. The first subdivision was most likely built on an old homestead, since a 2-acre home site is worth 5 times more than a 2-acre potato field. The transition from family farms to factories was exacerbated as World War II came and went. Interestingly, the subdivisions we see everywhere were actually invented during that era, an amazing, novel idea at the time. The original 2, 4, 6, and 8-plexes evolved into apartment and condominium housing en masse. Homesteads were surveyed, and developers greedily carved them into 1-acre lots, and boom, we planted houses in the fields, resulting in the first fruits of shiny, sprawling suburbia. And just like the rows of corn planted by the farmer as close together as possible to yield maximum profit, the concrete and wood bumper crop planted by developers has left us all living as close as we possibly can to each other for the same reason, profit. The overcrowding serves as a petri dish for pandemics, unrest, anxiety, and a culture lacking the fundamental core to keep it all together under a stressful, straining, burdensome load. As the original farms dissolved, so did the original homesteaders' legacy of knowledge and experience. Many of their descendants have forgotten the skill sets needed to thrive self-sufficiently. Today, 330 million Americans are completely dependent on the grid, the grocery store, and the gas station to survive day by day. Take one of those away from the city or the suburb for just one day? Chaos, panic. 24 hours of disruption could put those crowded, grid-dependent masses in real danger.